These guys are so tall. It's not fair. I'm about the same size as I was when I was 18. Now, you could gain a little weight after that, and I did. And then I lost some weight. And then I got sick, and then I really lost weight. So now I'm down to well below what I was before I went into the Army. 40 years ago? 50 years ago? Oh, my. 50 years ago. Well, it's greetings to everybody, the young and the old. It is so nice to see people here. The smiling faces, and every once in a while, a few of the kids might not be too happy, and they probably thought, oh, is that Mr. Camarada going to speak? And I know there's a couple of kids that probably wonder about me at times, and of course I wonder about you too, but we all love each other, don't we? Everybody is pretty hungry today, aren't they? Thirsty? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? That's good. Well, with just about less than a month to go before Pentecost, the world is caught up in all kinds of turmoil and contemplating what's coming next. How often do we ponder back to the date of our baptism, followed by the laying on of hands and being given God's Holy Spirit? And if it hasn't happened yet, consider it. Because in this life, you cannot do it alone, as we heard earlier in the message, the first message today. As we reflect on these times, we see vast nations in strife. The world is filled with anger, rage, and wrath. Recently in France, they had a major terrorist attack at the Champs-Élysées, a major street over there. And in fact, I was there many, many years ago, and I was at the Eiffel Tower, and I got up to the top of the Eiffel Tower, and I looked, and there's a gendarme with a submachine gun in his hand. And he was so proud of it. I took his picture, and I still may have it at home. He was so proud of his submachine gun. And despite that, France is still having problems. Not just France, but many other nations, such as Sweden. Sweden's crime rate is one of the highest in the entirety of the world, especially in the productive industrial nations of the world. There's talk about, well, nothing's wrong. We have no problems. Oh, yeah, we have a little crime rate, but they're ignoring the reasons for the crime rate, the liberalism, the turning away from God. What could happen in the future for them? What could happen for many people, even in this nation? The Swedes may end up finding themselves becoming refugees in other countries as their nation is taken over. This is serious business in this world, this day and age. I wish we didn't have to talk about those things. There were times that we had periods of peace and hope. Now it's a time of saber rattling, and the explosive power is getting deadlier and deadlier. Recently, a news reporter or news commentator, he used the word mendacious. And that was quite interesting. He says when you hear something, you hear it's mendacious. It's basically not telling the truth. And it's blending of truth and falsehood. In the announcements that we had, you probably read it, Mr. Tuck had something to say. And he said, the prophet Daniel, any other in history. Now, I know the world has had its ups and downs and its cycles, and incrementally, in the last 100 years, things have been relatively catastrophic. Oh, there's been great wars in the past, but even the 100 years war many years ago did not take on the death toll that we have seen in the last century. In Daniel 12:1 it says, "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was seen since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book." Are we written in the book? Will we be written in the book? Meanwhile, continuing, the average person can see the rise of disputes and that so many people hurl accusations. I've had family members hurl accusations at each other. It's disconcerting. It's more disconcerting than I've ever seen in my many years. And as you know, I'm a lot older than most of you might think. In this time of accusations and everything of such, it is so easy to get caught up in the strife and the bitterness of the world. It could be so easy to get caught up in those things if we are not careful about examining ourselves and looking to God for our hope and strength and salvation. The title of this message is, "If with all your heart," and basically it has to do with, the synopsis is, during this special time of fasting, as we come together, just several weeks before Pentecost, do we ponder the great gift and significance of God's Holy Spirit in our lives? Do we engage in deep personal examination? I would have to say that in times past, perhaps I was too busy examining others to examine self. And that is a bad trap for any of us to get into. What is the big problem that we see in these days that many call the end days? I know somebody had asked me on Facebook, her child, who was 24 years old, who could tell you how old she is, asked, "Is so-and-so in U.S. politics the beast?" All of a sudden, religion comes into play. I won't mention any names, but basically I said, "I don't think so. There's more to come." How many people have we known from 40, 50 years ago, if you're that old, like I am? How many of the tens of thousands of people have turned their back on the ways of God, have gone astray, whether purposefully or because of deceit from somebody else? Times were confusing then. Times are going to be more confusing in the near future also. And I am so glad to see that on occasion, some people do turn around and they come back. And that should be a lesson for each of us, to be wary of what might take us down, because we have to come up and we have to rise above all the things that are going on in this world that are difficult to understand. We do need to examine, have self-examination of this, which I call, and the scripture calls, so great a salvation, so great a calling. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy 1:9. I'm just going to read most of these out of the notes because it's hard to read things off this little phone. It's hard to read things with my glasses, hard to read things without my glasses. But we'll do the best. 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but as we had heard earlier, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. That was Hebrews 3:1. I'm going to slow it down so you have time to turn there if you need be. We can't go anywhere out to eat anyway, so why rush it? Maybe I should stay an extra hour. No, I won't do that to you. Humbly, we ought to realize the depth of this conversion that God has given us. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many powerful. Not many were noble, of noble birth. I'd like you to think of something. Lots of times we think that that means no one with any wisdom, but there have been people in wisdom and that have had the humility to stay the course. What an example. We read that of the example of the rich man, and we read the example of the centurion who said he could rule and he has power, but he humbled himself. What about us? Are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to say, well, maybe I don't know enough. Maybe God can teach me more. And there's no maybe about it. God can and will. Preferably, we're not resisting along the way. Too many in this day and age, we've seen them resist and turn aside to falsehoods in the world. The big problem with wisdom is when we come to think that we are wise in our own eyes. Solomon, one of the wisest men in all of history, God sang his praises, yet Solomon made mistakes along the way. Solomon at one time may have thought, what have I done? And yet, he finally realized, as it would say in Ecclesiastes, it says, the way to live is to the way God will tell you. And I don't have that quote here, but you could read in the last verses of Ecclesiastes. I would like you to consider something. Don't give up, but continue in self-examination. Lamentations 3:40. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. In the middle of a fight, in the middle of an argument, no matter who we are, it is sometimes so hard to do that. That's why it's important to have that humility and to be willing to back off from something. I remember years ago, a big man jumped out in front of me at work and he belly bumped me. He says, you want a piece of me? No, not me. First of all, he's too big. And that was not my style. And we kind of made up. I didn't want to talk to him for a long time. But it was funny because after I retired, he was one of the few people that actually wrote to me. Amazing. Let's also turn to 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. We'll dig into this examine yourself thing more. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourself? That Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. we can turn our backs on so great a salvation. But that won't get you anywhere. Repentance will be harder as time goes on. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will not fail. I heard a man many, many years ago who was a great teacher of God's word once say, I don't know if I'll make it. Why? You're not going to make it on your own. With God's help and you staying on course, you will make it. So stay that course. Around us, there's strife, name calling, fights. Prepare your minds and hearts, and don't be like many who go astray. It was asked that we pray for those that may have gone astray. And I think there's people in the wings waiting and watching to see what each of us do, to see if we can set an example. We know the scripture, it says that if you see a man faltering and drifting away, and you don't warn him in a kind, gentle manner, the blood is on your head. But if you tell him and he turns around, then you're both blessed. If he doesn't turn around, it's on his head. I've thought about that so often, and it's so important, no matter who I am around, no matter who we are around, to set that right example so they could say, he's among or she's among the very best. They will see a person they can trust. And we know that there's a scripture there where there's a time when somebody will be asking, what do I need to do? Do we get so exasperated with one another at times that we get caught in the trap of condemning others? I tell you, it is so easy to jump on that bandwagon. I've seen it in my own life. We are warned to be careful of such an attitude of self-righteousness and piety. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. Let's turn to several scriptures. Primarily in Luke 10:25, and we'll read through to verse 28. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to test, standing up to Christ, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. We can't say I love Jesus and hate our brother. We cannot do that. We may not want to warm up to somebody who's late. But there may come a day of repentance for them too. Just for your notes, if you want to write this down, you could also look up, and I'm not going to read from there because it basically says the same, Matthew 22:37. That's Matthew 22:37 and Mark 12:30. Let's take notice of this from the Old Testament. And as we read this, realize that the Old Testament and the New Testament are intricately woven together. Too many put a seal, and they will read a Bible. It's the New Testament, and they might read the Proverbs and Psalms, totally ignoring things that were said in the Old Testament that really explain things in the New Testament too. And this is Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith. Do we live by faith? Do I live by faith? I am the type of person like I have to fix everything. I have to do everything. And every once in a while, I can't do anything. And guess what? It works out. God sees that the right thing is done where it works out in your life. I wasn't able to get those jobs that I had when I did. God worked it out. When we know that Scripture states the words so puffed up, it is too easy. Realize it's too easy to lose that humility that we have or that we should have and fall into the trap of self-assurance, pride, and pomposity. Hey, look what I just did. Did you see what I did over there? I don't know. What did I do over there? I forgot. You can't remember day to day. After a while, all the things that you achieved gets buried under years and years. In the concept of deception, we know that it is so important to turn away from evil. Note this warning. Don't give 18, 4 to 5. Revelation 18, 4 to 5. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped at high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. It's important for us to put aside the things that have caused us difficulties, the things that create stumbling blocks for others. We, as individuals, as a church, as a congregation, are to be a light to a world steeped in darkness. These days are as dark as the days just prior to World War II. When politicians would say, peace in our time. And within a short time period, war broke out in Europe and it got worse and worse until the United States got involved and it continued to drag on for at least 4 more years. Tens of millions of people were killed. These times are considered more dangerous. Let's take a glance in Isaiah 51, 4, 7 to 8. 4, 7 and 8. Give attention to me, my people, and give an ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. In verse 7 to 8, hearken to me, you that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear you not the reproach of men. Some people aren't going to like you because you stand for the truth. Bear with it. Greater peace is coming. Hope is coming. Fear not the reproach of men, neither be you afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness, God's righteousness, shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. We have a great future to look forward to. Let me read this from John 11:10. John 11:10. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Be careful on what we do. It's a dangerous walk. It reminds me of the warning sign I saw when I was on border patrol off on the East German border many years ago. There was a sign that says, "Do not stop your vehicle here," because people were kidnapped. Or if you got too close, there's things called bouncing Bettys that just shoot right up in the air and they explode. It's like a minefield. That's a me of where you step and what you get involved in. I am amazed at how many people that I have known that have been caught up in the deceptions of this age. Churches at one time, not just us, many of them had a degree and sense of morality and love and respect for God. So many don't. Now they have euphemisms or whatever. I don't know what they want to call it. But it's not spiritual soundness. It's not a good moral foundation. In Luke 6:46, that stands as a witness to any who believe all we need to do is just love Jesus. It's important that you love Christ for what he did for you. Very important. But love is not all. When you love someone, when a child loves their parent, they listen, they heed, they obey. And it says here in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I tell you?" So many just don't understand that. They want warm, fuzzy feelings, but they still want to do things their own way. Christ is our Redeemer. And he is the Redeemer who goes back into the Old Testament also. He was there then. He is here now with you, with me, with all of us. Mankind's ways are far, far away from the way of the Lord. Repentance also has to do with helping of others to see the need to change. We could be such an example to many that have drifted away through the path in the past. Don't expect great things, but maybe when you least expect it, some other new people might walk through the door. Somebody who may have said, "Wow, I really got off on the wrong track at that time, that wrong station. I ended up in Chicago. I was supposed to be down in Florida. What in the world did I do?" Actually, I really would prefer Florida over Chicago, but I'm sorry to say this because I was from big city somewhere else. Let's note this from the New Testament, John 4:13 to verse 14. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." That is the real pause that refreshes. None of this sugary or artificial sweetener stuff. This is the good stuff. Each of us should hold fast to the Spirit in you. Do we want to just run with the crowd? Seal your hope. Live by every word of God. Be wary of carelessness and callousness. And it hits us all somewhere along the line. 2 Corinthians 4:1-3. 2 Corinthians 4:1-3. "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. If you say it's in God's word, let it be true. Let your words be based on God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Not everybody will like what you have to say. But no sense in getting angry. Walk away. Someday they may. You may feel a tug. If you're a woman, you feel a tug at the skirt. If you're a Scotsman, you'll feel a tug at the skirt. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Never, ever forget that. You have more power than the rest of the universe within you, within your grasp. Don't keep thinking you have no control over it. You have control if you've been baptized, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you had the laying on of hands and the giving of God's Holy Spirit. We have that Spirit that enables us to do those things pleasing in God's eyes. We ought to hold fast in all that we do. Proverbs 4:4. Proverbs 4:4. He taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. In Hosea 12:6. Hosea 12:6. So you, by the help of your God, return. Hold fast to love and justice and wait continually for your God. And one more. Romans 12:9. Romans 12:9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Do we prepare ourselves to set the right example in this age of decline? There are so few right examples in the world. What you have is more precious than diamonds or emeralds. For a world that is on the verge of committing suicide, a world that is dying, a terrible slow death, which could be rapidly increased anytime in the near future. The pure, real hope for what ails mankind and has done so since the beginning of time has been God in our lives. Would we be so arrogant that we would declare by our own hand and prowess that we control our destiny? Many nations are saying this. They're saying it in Germany. The Swedes are ready to run away from home. Europe is beginning to break up, but they think they have the solution. Do they? Have they not also turned away from their God? Absolutely. It says here in Matthew 3:11, this is John the Baptist speaking. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit and with fire. Think about John the Baptist and what his message and how he humbled himself, knowing that he was just a witness. We are just a witness and just an example to those around us. This is all relevant to times of history. There are people who are stumbling and who are falling. And they're on the altar of confusion. We too can fall on that altar of confusion, but we may need to set that example. I guess I'm not going to go that extra hour. We'll draw this to a conclusion. And the way I look at it, truly this world and the nations around us are careening out of control. Absolutely. Look at those things that they just can't seem to get it. Those poor Swedes are thinking, well, oh yeah, we have increasing crime, but we don't see any problem here. I saw an interview like that. What is wrong with these people? Your own politicians have caused the confusion. Consider this, and this comes from the announcement, and I think it's appropriate for this part of the message. In the announcements it said, in the last years we have had many depart from living God's way, and it remains to be seen whether they will continue on the wrong path they have chosen. We should earnestly pray for those who have drifted away from the laws of God and a close relationship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Some of these, or some of those, are our own children and close friends who we love deeply. Will that time come that we have the opportunity to reach out to people who are struggling in this world? The prophet Daniel has this to say, very encouraging words, and this was also in the announcements, but it's appropriate. They that are wise shall shine in the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. We are that example for people. Be careful of what we do, lest we cause somebody else to stumble. If I have an outburst of anger and somebody sees me do that, they'll look and say, well, he's not any better than anybody else. Romans 8:19-22. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. In hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's you. That's me. That's all of us. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. Are we at the end of the age? I have no real clue. It does not look good. So stand strong in the Lord with your whole heart. For there's people watching each of us. Finally, and I've said this before, I have said this before, and I would say it again and again and again. Let this be said of us in Matthew 25:21. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master and our King and soon coming Savior, Jesus Christ.